Earlier this month, the country was plunged into uncertainty after riots at the Capitol. The violence caused many to question the security of the upcoming inauguration, which took place 2 weeks later. This week, we hear about the AU community's thoughts on the inauguration and the future of the Biden presidency. Welcome to Beyond the Byline, a podcast by The Eagle. I'm Chloe Irwin. On Inauguration Day, news writer Rebecca Raffi sat down with three AU students to discuss their thoughts on the upcoming inauguration and on the riots at the Capitol. First, she talked to freshman Anna Mowry, a public health major in the College of Arts and Sciences. I'll let Rebecca take it from here.
Anna Mowry, she, her, hers, and I'm a freshman.
But are you, like, associated or involved with any student political organizations?
Last semester, I was involved with the Sunrise Movement chapter of AU, or the AU chapter of the Sunrise Movement, which is an environmental justice organization, but not being in D.C. Kind of made that difficult, so I'm looking to get more into that this semester, but nothing else, yeah.
Okay, awesome. And then finally, All right, so to start off, our country is in a politically polarized state between the different parties. Do you think that President Biden will be able to unify America during this term?
That's a good question. I think he'll be more unifying than Trump ever was, just because Trump was so hated and so loved by so many people. But I think America's just super divided right now, like, in general, and I don't know if Biden will be able to mend that divide, just because it's grown so deep, especially in the last couple of days with everything that's going on. So we'll have to see, but I don't think he will be bipartisan enough, but I definitely think he's a step in the right direction towards, like, unification.
Mm-hmm. And with the Black Lives Matter movement and racist rhetoric from Trump supporters, there seems to be quite a divide socially as well. So do you think President Biden will be able to address this during his term as well?
Well, I think, I don't know. The divide comes on the basic line of, like, human rights and morality, and so it's kind of difficult to, like, reach across the aisle in terms of your personal, like, morality and who you think counts and should have, like, rights as a human being. So I feel like in terms of, like, socially, like, the differences are too big and it would be too much of a conflict of, like, moral character for him to, like, really make some, like, pleas to the other side, just because of the nature of, like, the divide. I mean, it's literally, like, do Black people matter and deserve rights and not to be killed by police, or, like, is that okay? And, like, you know, so I feel like since it's such a strong, like, social divide, morally, I don't think he'll be able to unite those two groups.
Our soon-to-be Vice President Kamala Harris will be making history in many ways, such as being the first female and woman of color vice president. Do you think this is a pivotal point in our history? Why or why not?
I mean, yeah, of course. I think it's really important that we have diversity in politics and representation. She wasn't my first choice, but I think it's definitely a really important step for people of color and for women in general. And maybe we'll see her move up into more, like, higher roles, maybe in the next presidential cycle. We'll see, but, I definitely think it's a big step for people of color and women in general.
Yeah, definitely. And with competing news outlets, there has been disinformation spread about the election and election results. What are your thoughts on this, and how do you think this disinformation impacts our democracy as a whole?
Yeah, that's a good point to bring up. I definitely think that it has been hurting our democracy, just like this information. And I think it's important that social media companies really try to address that, because there's a lot of journalism, like, ethical, like, problems with spreading misinformation, but on social media you can literally post whatever you want. So I think that it's important that Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and stuff have been making some steps to try to combat misinformation, because it really is a huge threat to the democracy, just because, like, if you don't have the correct facts, like, how are you supposed to use that to vote to lobby your representatives and things like that. And also the misinformation about, like, the election results being correct and, like, being fair, like, it's caused, like, insurrection and the disruption of the Capitol. And so I think that it's really important for, like, specifically, like, social media. Social media companies to really crack down on that, because other news sources have biases. Generally, there should be reporting on, like, the truth, whereas on social media, you can post whatever you want without any sort of fact-checking.
And you just mentioned this, so I'm sure you're aware of the recent insurrection that happened at the Capitol. Can you tell me where you were at the time and how you found out about the news?
So I was in Louisville, Kentucky, which is where I'm from. I wasn't in D.C. yet, which I'm just very glad not to be. And I probably heard through, like, the news app on my phone, or maybe, yeah, I think that was it. I got, like, a notification on my phone from, like, one of the news sources I follow that there was violence, and of course we've been hearing, like, kind of threats of that and claims of that for a couple weeks before, so it came as a shock that it actually was, like, happening, but, like, also we were warned about it a little bit in the future.
Yeah, and so obviously you must have had a lot going on in your head while you're moving to D.C., so can you tell me a little bit about your thought process as you were moving to D.C. after the insurrection?
Yeah, I mean, I live pretty far from the center, so, I mean, I wasn't too worried about, like, the violence coming all the way up, like, to where I live, but it definitely, like, disrupted our, like, move-in and everything. I mean, like, our Wi-Fi couldn't be installed because, like, they canceled all the appointments in D.C. and, like, a bunch of things like that, so it's definitely a little nerve-wracking to, like, be coming into the city during such, like, a interesting, I guess you could say, time, but, yeah, we're so far outside of the, like, city, like, where the Capitol is, so not too worried, but it definitely has hindered things since nothing's open downtown, and, like, the metro stops are closed downtown, so definitely has put a damper on some of the things we would have liked to do, like, in our first couple of days to in D.C., you know, going to the monuments, maybe going to museums if they were open, like, things like that. And it is a militarized zone, so we've not been down there. But, yeah, it hasn't really affected us that much just because we're so far outside of the city.
Well, that's good to hear, at least.
Yeah.
So Trump has been impeached for the second time now and has announced that he will not be attending President Biden's inauguration. So how did you react to this news?
Yeah, so I'm glad he got impeached, because I think it's important that, like, a precedent is set that you can't call on a coup and, like, not have any consequences just because you only have, like, 2 weeks left in office. I think it was important that he has some, like, real, like, legal consequences. Not that he's been, like, removed from office. That'll come later maybe in, like, a conviction, but I think it's important that they made that first step. And as to, like, him not coming to the inauguration, I don't know. I just think there's, like, a decorum that he's broken so many times. He can't congratulate Biden on his win. He has done pretty disrespectful things in the past against, like, tradition of, like, our democracy. So I wasn't really surprised when he said he wasn't going to come. And it seems like Biden is pretty okay with that as well. So I don't know. I wish he had a little bit more respect and, like, dignity that he could show up to the inauguration and the peaceful transfer of, like, Democratic power, like every other president, well, minus, like, three, have done in the past. But yeah, I'm not super surprised given his past actions. So, yeah, I'm not so upset with that.
Yeah, I understand. So President Biden has mentioned that he will be a transitional president. Do you think that President Biden and Vice President Harris's agenda will help get our country back on its feet?
Yeah, I think that's a good, like, description of them, hopefully. That, I mean, because we've had so much, I guess drama is not the right word, but, like, I don't know, non-tradition, I guess, in, like, our political system in the last couple of years of the Trump. So hopefully someone that's already been kind of in that office and someone who's been in politics for a while will be able to kind of, like, reset everything. And, yeah, transition, I guess, is a good word, into a new president that hopefully makes some changes. Of course, good or bad, depending on, like, your political views. But I think whether you're Republican or Democrat, I think it's important to move away from Trump and Trump's rhetoric, because another 4 more years, another 8 more years, he was talking about, like, that just would not be good for our democracy in our country. And I think that's, I think a lot of people agree with that, whether it's, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. So hopefully Biden can kind of set the stage for either a Republican who's maybe more experienced in politics and more respectful of the democracy, or like another Democrat coming along after Biden.
Yeah, so are you optimistic about how this new administration will deal with the pandemic?
I am optimistic, but I think a lot of it comes down to, like, more local rule and, like, what different governors will continue to do. And as we've seen, like, a lot of governors have not taken it seriously. And I think people will be really upset if, well, I think, like, a lockdown or, like, mandated vaccines might be a good option. I think a lot of people will be upset about that. And so I don't know if Biden will make all of the necessary steps, just because he might try to lean on the side of, like, public faith. But I don't know. I hopefully it will be better than what we currently have and what's currently been done, which is not enough and not a lot. So it can only go up, I think. But yeah, I'm optimistic, but I don't know. I'm optimistic, and I think he did release a COVID release plan recently that had a good amount of, like, stimulus money and support for small businesses and just, like, people in general. So hopefully, if people have the means to stay home and stay in lockdown, then hopefully they will not object to it. But I don't know for sure, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Is there anything else you'd like to add, or anything I didn't go over that you want to include?
No, I just wish I was able to go to the inauguration. I was really excited for that when I knew I was going to be in D.C. for, like, a major presidential inauguration. I was really excited, and it kind of sucks that we can't be there for COVID reasons, but also because of, like, violence threats. But hopefully everyone will be safe and there will be no altercations, hopefully. But, yeah, that's it.
Next is Millie Landis, a sophomore in the College of Arts and Sciences.
I am a second year, and I'm studying public health and women's and gender studies.
Recently, you were featured on an Instagram story of a news outlet. Can you tell me more about that, please?
Yeah, so that was the day of the election, so that was going to be November 3rd. And my friends and I went down to the White House, you know, back when there weren't 100,000 troops there. And there was, like, this big demonstration going on. There were people dancing. There were people shouting, chanting, things like that. And all of those, like, really beautiful posters and really stunning demonstrations. There was tons of Black Lives Matter stuff out and just obviously very anti-Trump sentiment. We were around there, and a Washington Post representative came up to me and my friends, and he asked us what we were doing there. We answered a few of his questions. I think the one that I got quoted in was, he said, like, what are you doing here? And I said, but he was like, and what do you have to say? Like, why are you here? And I said, well, it's kind of a going away party for Trump, is what I said. And so that was my line that got quoted in the Washington Post, which was fun. And so then that evening, I just cut out segments of it and I put it on my story. Later, it turns out, they updated the article throughout the night. And so by morning, and we had stayed up all night because it was election night, not like we had any results, but we stayed up. And I checked the article in the morning, and the part that had my name in it and my quote in it was completely gone because they updated it. And so that information was, like, no longer relevant because they had, like, more things to share in that article because it was continuously updated. But it was still exciting. It was still fun.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah.
Our country is in a politically polarized state between the parties. Do you think President Biden will be able to unify America during his term?
Here's how I think of it. So when President-elect Joe Biden said his whole, like, we are going to unify the country after the riot on the 6th, I didn't love that because I don't want to unify the country with the white supremacists. I want to unify the country against the white supremacists. Yes, it would be great to have bills passed that have bipartisan support so that they can be passed more easily and so that, like, good change can come to real people. However, there's no part of unifying with white supremacists that I am interested in, if that makes sense.
With the Black Lives Matter movement and racist rhetoric from Trump supporters, there seems to be a huge divide socially as well. So do you think President-elect Biden will be able to address this during his term as well?
I think so. I think what Biden will do a good job at is helping to steer moderates in a more progressive direction. That's something I'm looking forward to. I think Biden will work towards it. I think he does want a unified country. Like, that's not just, like, a flashy statement he says to get elected, because now that he is going to be the president, he is still standing by that message. I think he does really care about a country that isn't fighting with each other constantly. However, I am not really sure that, like, criticizing this country is a bad thing. And so, like, it is not something I completely expect from the presidency from the next 4 or 8 years to be like, oh, now we all get along. Fact of the matter is, I don't want to get along with people who do not support Black Lives Matter. That's how I feel.
Yeah, definitely. So Vice President-elect Kamala Harris will be making history in many ways, such as being the first female and woman of color vice president. Do you think this is a pivotal point in history? And if so, why?
Completely yes. I think that gender equity in the United States has come a long way and still has a long way to go. And I think that Vice President-elect Kamala Harris isn't strictly symbolic, right? This makes a big, big difference. I was reading something yesterday. This is the first time there's going to be someone in the White House who has been told to keep her car keys between her fingers when she walks home and has been told she's bossy instead of being a leader. This is a person who has had the pretty universal woman in politics, woman in any career experience. And so, yes, I think this is a huge, huge deal. And, like, I am not going to live down how big of a deal it is. Some people are like, well, there's still so much to do. Like, yes, there is, and this is going to help. I am completely energized by this.
And then with competing news outlets, there's been disinformation spread about the election and election results. What are your thoughts on this, and how do you think this disinformation impacts our democracy as a whole?
I think it's tricky. That's definitely something that arose in the Trump era, that now it's not you are given the facts and then you choose what to believe. It is that you are given information that is right or wrong, right? Something that Trump has done, which is quite frankly remarkable, because that is something that would have been unheard of 50 years ago, is that he has made it so the truth is a disputed thing. News might not even be telling you what the news is, right? That's unheard of so many years ago. That is something that was legendary that he did, that changed the course of American politics and media. I think that the next 4 years will help that a little bit. I think that people who only adhere to one source of news, that's tricky because that might be fake news. And so I'm not saying everyone needs to go out and watch what the other side has to say, because I don't really think there's a ton of use in that either, especially when you are solidified in your own beliefs already. But I think that the next 4 years will mend that a little bit, because hopefully news and facts will become objective again.
And I'm sure you're aware of the recent insurrection that happened at the Capitol. Can you tell me where you were at the time and how you found out about the news?
I was at home, so I'm from Lexington, Massachusetts, and I had a dentist appointment that day. And so I had been following the news all day because I was watching the Ossoff and Warnock races. And I got in the dentist chair to get my filling, and I get out of the dentist chair. This is 45 minutes later. So I get out, and I look at my phone, and I see this New York Times update that's like, Mike Pence was rushed from the Capitol. And I'm like, how interesting. But that doesn't tell you everything, right? That is a hint, but not everything. So then I turned on the news on the way home, and they're explaining the situation. And then I picked my dad up from work and brought him home, and we turned on the news, and things kept getting worse. Every minute there was another piece of information that was like, oh my God, A, this is actually happening, and B, this is escalating. So then my sister came home, and then we were just kind of glued to the TV for the whole day. It felt as if it was an election almost. There haven't been a ton of times in my life that has happened where I want to be watching the TV because I want to be getting updates as they come, because this is so, so important, and whatever happens right then is going to have a lasting effect on a lot of people. The whole time was like, okay, so now there's white supremacists strutting around the Capitol, and we were thinking about Black Lives Matter rallies over the summer the entire time. When I picked my dad up from work after I had only been listening to the news for 10 minutes, that is what we talked about on the way home. It's just people wondering where the cops are and asking where Miley Cyrus is while Hannah Montana is performing. That's a pretty revolutionary thing that everyone should be able to see while watching that footage, how much policing in the United States is a racist system. So I think that's one of the largest lasting effects of the insurrection. That was proof beyond proof of what is happening. And what has been happening since the country's conception.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for sharing that story.
Pleasure.
So were you generally glad that you weren't in the D.C. area when all this happened?
Yes, for real. I am really close with my family, and I love to hear what they have to say about everything, so I was glad to be with them for that reason. But also, I would have been a little freaked out. There were people, you know, storming AU campus in Tenley Town and stuff. But still, it was definitely a spooky and icky, to use some big words. That was the vibe, and I was really, really glad to be with my family.
So Trump has been impeached for a second time now and announced that he will not be attending President Biden's inauguration. How did you react to this news?
He could have been impeached for 100 things throughout his term, right? Great that it happened again. I'm glad there will be consequences for his actions. I don't care if he doesn't attend the inauguration. He said a while ago he's not going to do a peaceful protest of power, a peaceful transfer of power, not protest. That is what we expected. And honestly, as soon as I can stop seeing his face, the better. I don't care if he's just going to throw a tantrum. That is not what this is about. This is about a momentous occasion for the Biden-Harris administration. This is a huge deal, and it is even sweeter because it is getting rid of Trump.
Did you ever expect such events to even occur while being a student in D.C.?
When I was deciding where to go to school, being in D.C. would mean I would be there for the 2021 inauguration. That was in my head when I was deciding where to go to school 3 years ago. Of course, been doing a lot to help that be a happy inauguration event. I could have expected this. I mean, it's the same thing with the riot, with the insurrection on the 6th. He has been saying this, he being Trump. People have been warned of what was going to happen. I think it was completely predictable.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting that was kind of a factor in the school you were deciding to go to.
How could this have happened? And it was like, okay, it has been planned. There was evidence of this happening. Like, people talked about January 6th. That was just false. That was disgusting.
All right, so President-elect Biden has mentioned that he'll be a transitional president. So do you think that he and Vice President-elect Harris's agenda will help get our country back on its feet?
Yes, I do. I am really, really excited for their vaccine rollout plan. I mean, everything that's happening right now is in the context of a pandemic, and so I think that will be a pretty priority one for them, which they have said. That's exciting, and I'm hyped about that. But I do. I think there are big changes coming. It also, I cannot emphasize enough how much it matters that we have the House and the Senate, whether you want to call it a split Senate or a democratically run Senate, up to you. That matters so much because that's how bills become laws. It's fourth grade stuff, but the fact that we have all of that means that big change is coming, and that is just so exciting.
And you just mentioned this briefly in your last answer, but are you optimistic about how this new administration will deal with the pandemic?
Completely. I think a couple days ago we found out that this whole Federal Reserve of vaccines that Trump has been talking about simply doesn't exist. The federal government doesn't have a warehouse somewhere full of more vaccines that they have stockpiled up to give to the states when the states run out. That was just a lie. And the states were like, we need more vaccines. And Trump was like, oh, we don't have any. Like, that is absurd. The fact that we're going to have competent people in office who are dedicated to this is hugely exciting. I think the pandemic will be under control. I doubt we'll go into another lockdown. But I think that the vaccine rollout plan will be hugely improved. I think today is going to be a really exciting day. I'm excited to celebrate today. I'll be inside with my roommate. That'll still be fun. Senator Harris hosted an IGTV video, I think, just thanking the woman who came before her. And boy, did that give me a run for my money. Cheers, guys. Yeah, I think today is an exciting day. I think just as much as it is excitement to see Trump go, it's excitement for what's to come.
Finally, we'll hear from Noah Burke, a sophomore SIS major and the vice president of AU College Republicans.
Noah Burke, he, him, his, and I'm a sophomore.
All right, and just to kick things off, so our country is in a pretty politically polarized state between the parties at the moment. So how do you think it got to be so intense as it is now?
I think, a lot of people look back to partisan citizenship way back even to the 90s, under the Clinton administration when shutdowns really first started happening. But I think it's really just been social media that's accelerated it. I think it's allowed, like, a lot of falsehoods and things that aren't really true are allowed to fester and spread a lot more easily. So I think that's how partisanship has spread, especially over the last 10 years. And, you know, Obama kind of came into office with the advent of social media. And I think a lot of people weirdly blame him, but I think you can more so blame the internet and social media for kind of fueling bipartisanship. Because, you know, when people before then would talk about politics, they would be talking with people around them, which, you know, sometimes are the same line, but not always, versus on social media. You can very easily find yourself in a place where you're only seeing posts and seeing opinions of people of the same opinion, which allows you to not only never really question things you assume, but also leads you to just believe in possible lies and also just further isolate you in your own opinion instead of remembering that there are people that disagree with you, and that's fine. You know, that's part of democracy and part of America, the people that disagree with you. But I think you really have to look at social media as the main cause of partisanship in America at the moment. And I think if you especially look with, especially what happened last week in the Capitol, you know, kind of like not main social media, but kind of fringe sites that like host QAnon conspiracy theories can definitely be blamed for events that occurred last week. Mm-hmm. Or the week before, I'm sorry, I have my timeline mixed up.
No worries. That's actually a perfect segue to my next question. So with like competing news outlets nowadays, there's been disinformation spread about the election and the election results. What are your thoughts on this, and how do you think this disinformation impacts our democracy as a whole?
Mm-hmm. So you can like definitely take a look at our social media page. We came out way back in early November in strong support of now not even president-elect anymore, but President Biden, Vice President Harris. They clearly won the election. I mean, there are always small discrepancies in every election. You know, it's hard not to in a nation of 330 million people. But never was there anything on this scale that would cause a difference in the results, which is why we, all the way back in November, came out in support of President Biden and Vice President Harris. So we've always maintained that, you know, despite there being small discrepancies as usual, nothing was ever serious enough to call into question the results of the election. So we think, you know, with any process, it's always best to follow the democratic norms. And we are glad that, you know, Vice President Pence today participated in the peaceful transition of power, as usual. So we're glad to see that as him being a leader of our party.
Okay, and I just want to confirm, so the AU College Republicans support the election results?
Correct. And if I can even text it to you, but we did release a statement. I believe it was a Saturday that the election results were finally certified by the AP. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I believe it was that day or maybe the day after we did release the statement then, congratulating President Biden and Vice President Harris on their victory.
Okay, and then with the recent Black Lives Matter movement and racist rhetoric from Trump supporters, as we saw the Confederate flags at the insurrection at the Capitol. So there seems to be a clear social divide. Do you think that the Biden administration will help combat this issue during their term?
I hope so, and I think if you looked at the floor speeches the day of and the days following, there are many Republicans willing to call those people what they are. They were terrorists who invaded the Capitol illegally. They had no right to be there disrupting the democratic process. And I am hopeful with Republicans in Congress who are standing up for freedom and democracy will be able to work with the Biden administration to heal the divides currently in the United States.
And Vice President Kamala Harris will be making history in many ways, such as being the first female and woman of color vice president. Do you think this is a pivotal point in history? And if so, why?
Yeah, I definitely think all Americans can be proud to have the first female VP, as well as the second kind of non-white person of color to be vice president in the United States. I think it just goes to show, you know, we want our government to look like America. And I think with every election in Congress and at the top, our government is looking more and more like America. And I think if you look at Vice President Harris, as well as the Republicans that were elected to the House as part of our new larger majority, they are looking more and more like the United States, especially women and women of color in the new freshman class of Republicans in Congress. So I think it's part of a larger movement of, you know, America has become more diverse for a while, and I think it's finally trickling up into Congress and the executive branch.
So can you tell me where you were at the time of the insurrection that happened in the Capitol and how you found out about the news?
I actually started Monday of that week working on the Hill for a member of Congress. Luckily, they did keep us home that day because they were concerned about our security, but I was just, you know, kind of nervously watching it happening because I was, you know, there the day before and could tell, you know, something was clearly going to happen, but I know I mostly expected just a lot of delays from certain members of Congress objecting to results with very little or no evidence. But I certainly did not expect an invasion of the Capitol. You know, I was just watching it kind of happen on C-SPAN, the floor speeches, and suddenly when they cut the cameras, I knew definitely something was wrong. And then I turned to, you know, CNN and Fox to see, you know, thousands of people literally banging on the doors of the Capitol. So, you know, as an American, as a Republican, and as a person who was working there literally the day before, it was just very sad and horrifying to me that this was happening in our country. You know, that's kind of where I was the day of, but I was very happy the day after, you know, our office, we went back to work immediately the day after on Thursday. And I think, you know, Congress did at large, was able to get back to work that day of that night and certify the results in the early morning of Thursday, you know, to ensure the democratic process played out without any interruptions or falsehoods being accepted.
Mm-hmm. And are you able to disclose what member of Congress you're working with?
I can. He is a Republican member of Congress, but I'm sorry, I can't disclose that.
Okay, no problem. Just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, no problem.
So how did you react to former President Trump being impeached for the second time?
I certainly thought it was definitely a different process than the usual impeachment, just because it happened so quickly. You know, I think there's cases to both sides considering, you know, his term was coming to an end, and Democratic leadership did feel the need to act quickly before it ended. I also think there is merit to members who were concerned that it didn't go through the usual process of the Judiciary Committee, because the whole idea of impeachment is that it's supposed to somewhat replicate an ordinary judicial trial. I mean, there definitely is a time and a place for evidence and arguments be laid out to the Senate, but I did find it somewhat concerning that we skipped that so quickly in the House. But I definitely think that because the House is able to make this first step, hopefully now that it's in the hands of the Senate, they'll be able to take time to deliberate and investigate it. I definitely think it'll be definitely a different impeachment trial than usual. You know, unlike Watergate, Monica Lewinsky, or Ukraine, you know, the evidence and the witnesses are the members of Congress themselves, because they were there the day it happened. It happened in the rooms they'll be debating this in. So I definitely think it'll be a very different impeachment trial than we would normally have ever seen in our lives.
How do you react to former President Trump announcing that he would not attend President Biden's inauguration?
I definitely think it's unfortunate. I think it's important for all members of any party, of any position, to always participate in the peaceful transition of power. We were very happy to see Vice President Pence fully participate, attend inauguration. But it's not completely unprecedented. There have been a few cases, if you go back, where outgoing presidents haven't participated. But we definitely would like to see all members of government always participate in a peaceful transition of power. But we were very pleased to see former Vice President Pence participate.
Thank you so much for listening. If you are interested in hearing more perspectives on the inauguration, you can find more coverage on our website. Special thanks to everyone that recorded interviews and appeared on this podcast. Interviews were edited for clarity. If you have any feedback about this episode or the podcast, please send an email to cirwin@theeagleonline.com. Have a great week.